is a commercial-free, streaming on demand presentation from 92.9 WBPN.
From 1963 to 1968, in the space of 5 years, the Beatles redefined rock and roll bands and how they create albums. Paul McCartney.
It grew and sort of evolved, which is quite nice. I was talking to someone recently about that, a musician, saying that was where we learned that albums ought to evolve, rather than just, that's their hits, and here's another collection of hits, exactly the same, only different songs. We felt we had to grow, and this next album shouldn't be the same as the last one, which made it more fun, of course, you know, probably more difficult, but we were just enjoying it.
John Lennon.
With the advent of Dylan and a few other interesting people I'd meet or hear about, I suddenly realized I was being silly and that I should put all my energy into writing the song, into the lyric. So then I transferred any writing ability I had completely to the songs, and the song lyric got better and the structure of the words got better, and they became as important as the tune then. And then I think the songs are better. A, I've had a lot more experience than I had when I was 20. I'm older, and it's true, you get more experience because there's just more time span, that's all.
George Harrison.
The Beatles has always been sort of a lot of different music. It's never been one sort of bag. But the thing is that you can set a high standard and it doesn't necessarily have to be a hit.
1967 and 68 were tumultuous years in the band's history. They had released a universally acclaimed revolutionary musical masterpiece in June of 1967 with Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, participated in the first worldwide telecast that debuted their generational anthem. Which was included on the U.S. release of Magical Mystery Tour, an album that was another number one on the charts and nominated for a Grammy for Album of the Year in 1967. On August 24th, the Beatles attended Maharishi Mahesh Yogi's Transcendental Meditation Seminar in Bangor in Wales. But their stay was cut short when they learned of the death of their manager, Brian Epstein, 2 days later. Beatles producer, the late George Martin.
I think my memory of that time is just a blur in that it was such an enormous amount of work in such a short time. We'd gone through quite a traumatic period in our lives because Brian Epstein had died. And for a while, the boys were sort of rudderless, if you know what I mean. They'd lost their manager and they were wondering where they were going to go.
The Beatles all traveled to India in 1968 to study at the Maharishi's ashram, and it was there that they strove for some inner peace after 7 years of worldwide superstardom. It proved to be an amazingly fertile time for their songwriting.
They'd all gone away, and they come back, and they had something like 32 or 33 songs, and they wanted to record them all at once.
The album turned out to be a two-record set, which they named The Beatles, and, due to its dark white cover, became affectionately known as The White Album. It once again showed the band's talent, devotion to their music, and capacity for an amazing diversity of styles. It entered the U.S. charts at number one and stayed there for 9 weeks. It is certified 19 times platinum and in 2000 was inducted into the Recording Academy's Grammy Hall of Fame. Ringo Starr.
The White Album, we ended up being more of a band again. And that's what I always love. I love being in a band.
On November 9th, 2018, the Beatles release a suite of lavishly presented White Album packages through Apple Corps and Capital UME. The Super Deluxe package features 6 CDs and 1 Blu-ray disc. The CDs have the original 30 songs remixed by producer Giles Martin and engineer Sam O'Kell in stereo, as well as 27 early acoustic demos and 50 session takes, most of which are previously unreleased. That includes sessions for the songs Let It Be, Across the Universe, Lady Madonna, Mean Mr. Mustard and Polythene Pam, The Inner Light, Not Guilty, and others that did not make it onto the original album. The Blu-ray has the surround sound mix and the direct transfer of the original mono mix. They're housed in a slip-sleeved 164-page hardbound book with pull-out reproductions of the original album's 4 glossy color photographs of John, Paul, George, and Ringo, and it's illustrated with rare photos and reproductions of handwritten lyrics. The deluxe version contains the new stereo mix and demos, and the standard 2LP vinyl is the new 2018 stereo mix. Giles Martin.
I have this incredible position at Abbey Road where I can sit and get the Beatles tapes up, and I think other people should be able to have that as well. So it's that balance of unmixing a record in a way so you feel like you're in the room with Ringo and yet still have the songs you love and know. So I want to feel that Ringo's hitting the drums. I want to, you know, hear Paul's pick on the bass or his fingers on the bass and the picks on the guitar and the rattling of their throats. That's what we wanted to hear.
Hi, I'm Dan Neer. In the next hour, we'll let John Paul, George, and Ringo, along with Eric Clapton and George and Giles Martin, guide you through as much music that we can fit in. Welcome to the 50th anniversary of the Beatles' White Album, All Access. From the newly released 50th anniversary edition of the White Album by the Beatles. One of the guest musicians on the White Album, Eric Clapton.
The most important thing I remember about that session and the other stuff I saw around them was how funky it was. They made records in the most liberated way I'd ever seen. They just did whatever they felt like, and there was an incredible freedom to their approach to making records. There was nobody governing anything. There was no kind of censorship. They just did what felt right. And that was really liberating to see.
Eric played guitar on the George Harrison composition While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
I wrote it at my mother's house in the north of England. I just had my guitar. And that's right, I just wanted to write a song. And I do this often, actually. If I haven't got particularly an idea for a song, then I believe in I Ching, you know, where everything at that moment is relative to that situation. So with When My Guitar Gently Weeps, I think was typical of that. I just opened a book that was around, and the first thing I looked at became the song, and it was something about gently weeps. And then from that, the whole thought started going, and I just wrote the song then.
But while recording the song for the White Album,
I'd had a difficult time the day before we started to record that song, but there was a bit of a lack of interest from the Lennon-McCartney songwriting duo. So Guitar Gently Weeps, I happened to like. I thought it was a decent tune, and we were trying to learn the tune, routine it, and record it. And there was not much joy, you know, and I went on that night thinking, you know, that's not it. I got to do it better than that. And Eric was with me, and I said, why don't you come and play on this record? And a similar thing happened when Billy Preston walked in at the time you did Let It Be, suddenly they all go on their best behavior.
Once again, Eric Clapton.
I think he was having trouble with While My Guitar Gently Weeps because the other boys didn't really, like John and Paul, were very, very reticent. And so they would get a lot of stick, see? And I think this was his way of kind of saying, well, Eric likes it, so it must be all right, you see? I don't think they'd ever run through the song until I got into the studio, and I got the impression some of it was a send-up, you know, the way John and Paul were doing it was exaggerated, but it was more like a jam, the atmosphere, and we did about two or three takes, and that was it.
I look at you all, see the lover that's sleeping, while my guitar gently weeps. The problems you sow are the troubles you're reaping. Still my guitar gently weeps. I don't know why nobody told me how to unfold your love. I don't know how someone controlled you. They bought and sold you. I look at the world and I notice it's turning. While my guitar gently weeps. Every mistake we must show.
Demo version of While My Guitar Gently Weeps into the newly remixed song. You can hear both versions on the just-released Super Deluxe version of the Beatles' White Album. And you can do that with most of the songs on the record. It's quite a treat seeing how the Beatles developed their songs.
Life comes and love goes. We go round and round.
circles.
Here's John Lennon on his visit to India, which proved to be a powerfully creative time.
India was good for me, and I met Yoko just before I went to India and had a lot of time to think and think things out there with 3 months just meditating and thinking, and I came home and fell in love with Yoko, and that was the end of it. And it's beautiful.
Glass Onion is a deep yet humorous song on the White Album written by John.
We're all gone, you know. I mean, Christ said the kingdom of heaven is within you, and the Indians say that and the Zen people say that. It's a basic thing of religion. We're all God. I'm not a God or the God, not the God. But we are all God, and we're all potentially divine and potentially evil. We all have everything within us. And the kingdom of heaven is nigh and within us, you know. And if you look hard enough, you see it. In meditation, on drugs, on diets, there is a power which people tap. And they use it for whatever ends they use it. A God is a power which we're all capable of tapping. We're all light bulbs that can tap the electricity. You can use electricity to kill people or to light the room, you know. And God is that, neither one nor the other, but everything. And we use him to our best ability.
I told you about strawberry fields. You know the place where nothing is real. Well, here's another place you can go.
Onion from the 50th anniversary edition of the Beatles White Album.
Come on, you can do it, baby. Come on and join Los Paranoia.
One of the over-exaggerations about the sessions for the White Album was that the Beatles did not get along. To put that in perspective is the producer of the new box set, Giles Martin, son of the late George Martin.
The White Album is a long process. It's a big album. And there's bound to be arguments going on. It really feels, and Paul and Ringo told me, it's the most banned album they had. So, you know, warts and all. But they were all together for the whole recording of the album, apart from when Ringo left. I think Ringo left because Paul became more and more proficient at instruments as he went along. He had this, he still does have this unbelievable appetite for music. So whenever Ringo walked in, Paul was on his drum kit, you know, and I think it drove him mad. And if you listen to the drums on Dear Prudence, which is Paul, it's great drumming. You can see how Ringo felt, but I think Paul also realized, and the band realized, that with Ringo gone, they were no longer the Beatles. There's four of them. There's four sides to a square, and you take away one side, it collapses. And that's what happened to the Beatles. So Ringo coming back, you know, they filled the studios with flowers. It was almost a redemption period. And I think the rest of the album, and if you listen to the outtakes of tapes, I went through everything they recorded on the White Album. And in this package, you hear their conversations. And I'm not editing conversations to make them sound good. You will listen to what I hear. And it's a band getting on and making a record.
Dear Prudence, won't you come out to play?
greet the brand new day.
Ending with John's demo of Dear Prudence, which explains the inspiration of that song when the Beatles were in Rishikesh, and the finished song, both found on the new 50th anniversary White Album box set. As we go to break, we'll hear a taste of an unreleased demo that John called Child of Nature at the time, but you might recognize it as a John solo song from Imagine. You'll find the whole song on the 50th anniversary super deluxe version of the Beatles' White Album. More insights on the magical tunes of John, Paul, George, and Ringo when All Access floats back across your ears in a few minutes.
On the road to Rishikesh, I was dreaming more or less, and the dream I had was true. Yes, the dream I had was true. I'm just a child of nature.
Broadcasting throughout the Hudson Valley and to the world. Online at 929WBPM.com. This is your station for the biggest hits of all time. 92.9 WBPM.
thanks for coming back to our celebration of the 50th anniversary release of the Beatles' White Album. This is All Access. As you probably know, racial tensions in the United States in the 1960s spilled over into violence in the streets. Those images were not lost on Paul McCartney, who felt moved to write a song.
In England, we call girls birds. And so it's the double meaning of a black woman and a black bird. It's using the two things. And it was originally about the struggles going on in Alabama, particularly in the 60s, and the civil rights disturbances, which, you know, a lot of us with any morals around the world were very sensitive to and very supportive of the people who were going through the rubbish that they were going through. So I wrote that song with that in mind.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night, take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night, take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You are only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, fly. Into the line of a dark black night. For this moment to arise, you are only waiting for this moment to arise. You are only waiting for this moment to arise.
Blackbird, a song of solidarity. We heard earlier that Ringo got a bit frustrated and he left the group for a few days during the sessions for what turned out to be the White Album.
I felt two things. I felt I wasn't playing great, and the other three were really happy, and I was an outsider. And so, you know, I came to this decision, I'm leaving. And so I went to see John, who was living in my apartment in Montague Square. I knocked on the door. I said, hi, we went in. I said, I'm leaving the group because, you know, I feel like unloved and out of it. I'm not playing well, and you three are really close. And he said, I thought it was you three. So, okay. And then I went over to Paul's and knocked on his door. I said the same thing. I said, you know, I'm leaving the band. I feel, you know, you three guys are really close and I'm out of it. And he said, I thought it was you three. You know, and I knew we were just in a messed up stage, all of us, then. You know, it wasn't just me. It was the whole thing was going down. And I came back and went in the studio and George had had it decked out with flowers. It's just flowers everywhere. And John had sent me telegrams saying, you're the best rock drummer, come on home. And I just felt good about myself again, and we got through that little crisis, and it was great.
Another good thing for Ringo was the recording of Don't Pass Me By, the first song he ever wrote, which made it onto the White Album.
Don't pass me by, don't make me cry, don't make me blue, 'cause you know, darling, I love only you. I did feel good about this song, and we did it. And, you know, I was really excited. You know, it's like you were talking about before. It was my first song, and it was really exciting, you know, to get it down. You know, everyone worked as hard on that song as they did on any other song we were doing.
It wasn't like, oh, well, this is Sir Lennon McCartney, or this is one of yours, we give you 10 minutes. I mean, everybody worked to the full.
I listen for your footsteps coming up the drive. Listen for your footsteps, but they don't arrive. Waiting for you knocked in on my old front door. I don't hear it. Does it mean you don't love me anymore? I hear the clock a ticking on the mantel shelf. See the hands are moving, but I'm by myself. I wonder where you are tonight, or why I'm by myself. I don't see you. Does it mean you don't love me anymore? Don't pass me by, don't make me cry, don't make me blue. So I'll hate to see you go. Don't pass me by. Don't make me cry. I'm sorry that I doubted you. I was so unfair. You were in a car crash and you lost your hair. You said that you would be late about an hour or two. I said, that's all right, I'm waiting here, just waiting to hear from you. Don't pass me by, don't make me cry, don't make me blue. 'Cause you know, darling, I love only you. So I hate to see you go. Don't pass me by. Don't make me cry. Don't make me cry, don't make me blue. 'Cause you know, darling, I love only you. You'll never know it hit me so. I'll hate to see you go. Don't pass me by.
Ringo's songwriting contribution to the Beatles' White Album, Don't Pass Me By, now heard in sonic perfection on the 50th anniversary releases. Another beauty from the album is John's song about his mother, Julia.
I always thought she was a very beautiful lady and a really nice woman, and I know John absolutely adored her. One, obviously, on the level that she was his mum, so he just was totally bonded to her, I mean, for that. But also because she was like a very beautiful woman and a very spirited woman, you know, as I say, she taught him banjo. Now, I mean, it's very sort of gay in the old sense of the word.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's very, she's a very lively, a very fun person, very lively woman. Remember, her long red hair.
Half of what I say is meaningless. But I say it just to reach you, Julia. 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 Ocean child calls me. So I sing the song of love, Julia. Julia. Floating sky is shimmering, glimmering in the sun. Julia, Julia, morning moon, touch me. So I sing the song of love, Julia. When I cannot sing my heart, I can only speak my mind, song of love, Julia. Calls me, so I sing a song of love for Julia, Julia.
Simply beautiful. Julia. When All Access returns, bluesy Beatles and raunchy Beatles. Going to break, here's part of another previously unreleased Beatles demo. You'll find the entire song on the 50th anniversary super deluxe edition of the Beatles White Album.
Hey, 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 hey. Hey, Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart. Then you can start to make it better. Hey, Jude, don't be afraid. You were made to go out and get her.
Small radio station, big hits, and a better music variety too, from 92.9 WBPM.
Lady Madonna!
Welcome back to the last segment of our all-access party for the 50th anniversary release of the Beatles' White Album. I'm Dan Neer, and this is John Lennon.
All these songs just came out of me, you know. I didn't sit down to think I'm going to write about my mother, or I didn't sit down to think I'm going to write about this, that, or the other. They all came out, you know, like all the best work of anybody's ever does, you know. Just the best ones come out, and all these came out because I had the time. Like in India, where I could write a lot, like I'm So Tired and Yeah Blues, where they were pretty sort of realistic, you know, they were about me. And it always struck me as funny that I was writing in supposedly in the presence of guru and meditating so many hours a day. I was writing I'm So Tired and songs of such pain as Yeah Blues, which I meant. It wasn't just me, right? You know, I was trying to express it in blues idiom because I was writing Maharishi's Camp, writing I Want to Die.
Paul McCartney.
We were recording with the Beatles down Abbey Road. We started to feel that in this big studio, we were a little bit too far away from each other. So we found a little cupboard that they actually used to put mics and leads and jack plugs and things in. And it must have been, I don't know, 10 feet by 3 feet or something. It was a little equipment cupboard. And we just said, you know, can we get in there? So it was great because you were shoulder to shoulder once more with each other playing. And we did Yeah Blues in there. It was great. We just turned the amps to the wall, stuck a microphone in the space there. Ringo had his drum kit down one end. And it was just probably difficult for the engineers. It was great for us because you're so together as a band. It actually makes a difference.
Yes, I'm lonely. Wanna die. Yes, I'm lonely.
reason why.
Absolutely hear the closeness of that Beatles performance from the newly remastered White Album, That Was Your Blues. The White Album showed just how varied the Beatles were as a band. There's ska, blues, ballads, 20s flapper music, country and western, and tender ballads along with experimental pieces. And of course, loud rock and roll. Paul McCartney.
I read in one of the musical papers Pete Townsend saying, oh, we just made the dirtiest, filthiest, rock and rollingest, loudest song ever. And just reading that kind of got me jealous. It's like, oh, wow, you know. And to this day, I haven't found out what the song was. I've been trying to scour the Who's, you know, body of work. But it was enough for me to kind of write Helter Skelter and then go back to the guys and say, read this thing with a Who said they've done the most dirtiest, filthiest thing. So that's what we've got to do. We've got to outdo that. Totally. This has got to be the worst, filthiest, loudest, snottiest record we've ever made. You know?
Well, Helter Skelter, I call Paul because it just, you know, if you listen to the early takes, we were like a blues band in the end.
When I get to the bottom, I go back to the top of the slide. Where I stop and I turn and I go for a ride. Till I get to the bottom and I see you again. Miles above you. Tell me
Putting an exclamation point on our celebration of the 50th anniversary of the Beatles' White Album, Helter Skelter.
I got blisters on my fingers!
With the last word, here's Giles Martin, who produced and oversaw these stellar remixes of the original album, demos, and alternate takes for this box set, and whose father, George, was the producer of the White Album the first time around.
Without question, the White Album wasn't his favorite album. And it wasn't his favorite album to work on. There's a number of reasons why that is. You know, he wanted to progress on from Sgt. Pepper and make another experimental, colorful album. And in every way, the Beatles' White Album is the White Album. It's raw, it's visceral. They needed less of his involvement, and he expected them to need more. They also worked different hours. You know, he was a family man. He'd had my sister by then. He had two other kids. And he was having to work from 11 at night till 6 in the morning. And a lot of people found working with the Beatles very, very tough. You know, they had this unbelievable energy and appetite and drive and knew what they wanted to do. That's why there's 30 songs on this record. Don't forget, 30 songs on this record. And they also recorded Across the Universe, Lady Madonna, Hey Bulldog, Hey Jude, during this whole period of time. I mean, and also Not Guilty by George and Circles. You know, there's a bunch of tracks. There's so much stuff that they were making at the same time. And I think the reason why sometimes they work separately is just purely because they couldn't get the tracks down in time to work together.
Yeah. The 50th anniversary super deluxe version of the Beatles' White Album has 6 discs and a Blu-ray. The 6 discs contain 107 tracks, including the 2018 remix of the original double album, alternate takes, and demos of songs that didn't make it onto the record. On the Blu-ray, you're going to find the surround sound mix and the direct transfer of the original mono mix. There's also a 164-page hardbound book with pull-out reproductions of the album's original artwork, rare photographs, and reproductions of handwritten and notated lyrics. You can find all of the 50th anniversary releases wherever you buy music. The 50th anniversary of the Beatles' White Album, All Access, was produced in New York and New Jersey for Apple Corps Limited and Capital UME by Near Perfect Productions, all rights reserved. No portion may be reproduced without the written permission of the producers. Special thanks to all the good folks at Apple Corps, Jamie Hartley at Capital UME, and Ken Dashow at WAXQ Q104 in New York City. I'm Dan Neer. Thanks for listening.